Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome to the show on another Friday afternoon. Sun Guy with you as usual. Some show notes before we jump into things with our guest. If you are looking for some pro wrestling in the next few days, tonight, WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana, 1151 South Kentucky Avenue. SOS in Tacoma, Washington. Graph House happening at the arena in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Paradigm in New Albany. I'm sorry, Graph House actually in Las Vegas, Nevada. My mistake. Las Vegas, where you find Graph House. Paradigm in New Albany, Indiana. AMW in Jackson, Kentucky. Tomorrow night, Emerge in Columbus, Indiana. OIWA in Forest City, Arkansas. EPW in Salem, Indiana, featuring the Big Country Memorial Show. DOA in Portland, Oregon. WCWO in Lebanon, Indiana. MSWA in Rockwood, Tennessee. PAPW in East Haven, Connecticut. HCW in Evansville, Indiana. AMW back in Jackson, Kentucky on Saturday. CZW in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Prime 008 in Richmond, Kentucky. 907 Pro Wrestling in Anchorage, Alaska. Taco Fest in Portland, Oregon has live wrestling. And CCW in Kissimmee, Florida tomorrow night. If you have wrestling near you, get out there and support the local independents. And without any further ado, our guest today, making his return to the show, a member of the Combat Pro Wrestling Presents Theatrical Wrestling roster, John Davidson, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sun Guy.
Well, since your last appearance here, things have been topsy-turvy for you. You signed on to manage JMO, and very shortly after that, you received a suspension from CPW Presents Theatrical Wrestling after you attacked Paul Moonshine, who was making his return to the sport after a very long hiatus. What can you tell us about the suspension?
You know, since I've been suspended, I've been doing a few things and making a few changes in my behavior and my career choice. And, you know, I heard that broadcast, and I did attack him from behind. I did attack him from behind. I didn't hit him, though, but I did attack him from behind, and I held him, and I made him watch JMO go to work with a pair of brass knuckles. That was funny. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed it so much, I had to do it twice. but then he said he wanted to step into the ring with me and have a few words. You know, I got to thinking about that, and I wouldn't mind stepping into the ring with him to hear what he has to say. I'm sure he's got a lot to say to me. I'm sure, you know, I'd like to hear his feelings and how he felt about my attacking him from behind. Now, he said that I had infected him with COVID. So I did that too, but it was unintentional. I had no idea that showed that I had COVID. I didn't think to test for it. I wasn't feeling any symptoms, but following this show, I started showing symptoms, so I tested and came up positive for COVID. So I was doing due diligence and talking with everyone that I could about my having COVID that I performed with at the show. So I was being responsible. I just didn't know how to get a hold of Paul Moonshine to let him know, hey, I may have given you COVID. At least I was going to call him and let him know, hey, I gave you COVID, but after I attacked him from behind. I thought it was common decency for me to try to get a hold of him. And I didn't end up getting a hold of him until after he was in the hospital. But I stayed in contact with him while he was in the hospital. And, I wished him well. And he had gotten out of the hospital, and I was happy that he had gotten out of the hospital, because then I get to face him in the ring to hear what he has to say.
I'm just going to point out that staying in contact with Paul is how he ended up in the hospital.
Yeah, but I was able to FaceTime with him, and we corresponded back and forth through Messenger. So, I felt for the old man, I felt bad that he had contracted COVID for me, being that it was an unintentional contraction, I still to this day apologize to him for that.
Now, do you also apologize for attacking him from behind and making him watch his own nephew attack his own son?
Heck no! I don't apologize to him for that, and I'd do it again.
So you weren't that sorry.
No. What I am sorry for was him contracting COVID. What I'm not sorry for is attacking him from behind, because I'd love to do that shit. It's so funny.
Now, if he were seriously injured in the attack, let's say you ruptured his spleen in the attack, would you be sorry for the ruptured spleen? Or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you hadn't attacked him from behind, there would be no ruptured spleen, hypothetically speaking. So
yes.
You seem to contradict yourself there a little bit.
If I hurt him in any way, I mean, I felt bad after I had done it, but then I realized it's just business.
All right.
So, it's just business.
Over the last few shows with your suspension, obviously you've not physically been there with J-Mo as he continued to compete. What's the contractual status between you and J-Mo at this point?
I don't know at this point. I'd still like to be his manager. I mean, I was there his last show when he fought John Rodriguez. And I know he heard me because I told him to break John Rodriguez's arm. And I believe he broke his arm at the shoulder.
That's frowned upon within professional wrestling, to break someone's arm at the shoulder.
I know.
All right. Now, you say you don't know the status. Do you not read your contracts?
Well, I mean, it's really up to J-Mo. I mean, J-Mo hired me. So, you know, I don't mind representing J-Mo when I do come back from suspension. I'm hoping to be back from suspension May 25th. I know I'll be in the building.
All right. Now,
just as I was this past show.
Now, will this turn into a situation much like we saw decades ago where Jimmy Hart still owned the contract of the Hart Foundation, and even though they refused to allow him to accompany them to the ring, half their money went to Jimmy Hart, which he then shared with the fabulous Rougeau brothers.
It might. It depends on the way the business venture needs to go.
Well, you're saying there's a chance that half of JMO's money could end up in the hands of Jacques and Raymond Rougeau.
No.
Not what I heard.
I'm saying that, you know, but I have other friends. Half of his money might end up in their pocket. You never know.
I think J-Mo might be listening very intently at this point. I'm sure that's going to interest him tremendously.
I've seen that Clown Mob has seen interest in J-Mo. And, you know, I need to sit down and speak with Mr. Maximilian Sykes, the Reverend, and see what his theology is, what he wants to do, and why he's seeing interest in J-Mo once again. But, as far as Paul Moonshine goes, whatever he's going through, I hope he pulls through it, because we got some unfinished business.
Well, we are going into the season where outdoor shows start popping up. I know you have been on a lot of outdoor shows in your time, and they pose different problems potentially than indoor venues. Do you have an opinion on wrestling outdoors as opposed to indoors?
The only problem I see with outdoor wrestling is the elements. I mean, it gets really hot during the summer, and I know a lot of us go out and we put on our best show, but we're just sweating to death. It's hot. I don't mind doing them outside. I mean, we're out in the fresh air, and, you know, an outdoor show coming up that I'm really happy about doing is the Strawberry Festival in Marysville, Washington. That show right there is one of my favorites. But, yeah, it's just the heat during the summer.
Well, some would say you have heat year-round.
I have heat year-round. But the heat during the summer, that kills. So we try to stay as hydrated as we can while we're putting on a show and making the fans scream and holler, because that's what we do best.
Speaking of both Strawberry Fest and fans, last year during Strawberry Fest, you were assaulted by a fan and had an incident with someone that was there to watch the show that took things beyond the next level, how many instances in your career have you had to deal with fans that crossed the barrier and went after you?
That's the first time I've ever had a fan assault me. And it was actually quite surprising that they would keep got the gall to do it. Totally threw me off my game. I didn't know what to do. I was like, what do? Do I hit him back or do I just continue on with my client? And I made the choice to continue on with my client and continue on with the show. but that's the first time I've ever had a fan just outright chop me. That was weird.
You get used to it after a while, but you still want to kick the guy's eye out.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned the elements being an issue on the outdoor shows, which they definitely can be. Have you personally had many instances where weather started affecting things during the course of a match you were involved with actively?
Started to rain a little bit in one match, or one show. It was supposed to be okay. And then this wasn't here in Washington, or on this side of Washington. It was eastern Washington. The weather was supposed to be fine, and then it started to rain. And then we had to pack up. We packed up in the rain. That was weird. Wind was a factor in another show. And then year before COVID, we were supposed to do Strawberry Festival, and that got rained out. God, I really hope it doesn't rain out this year. I really want to do it. let's see. Yeah, that's about it. And then it was really hot during one of Cascade Championship Wrestling shows in Eastern Washington. It was just really, really hot outside, but we didn't show anyway. Wow. Yeah, that's about it.
Ow. Obviously, you have been to many places in your career, and you will know that the actual physical wrestling rings can differ greatly, especially at the independent level. There's anywhere from a 16-foot ring to a 20-foot size ring. You have real ropes. You have cables encased in tape. You have planks. You have 2x4s to fill the ring. There's different types of frames. There's different types of turnbuckle pads. Do you have a personal favorite ring that you were most comfortable in to perform?
I trained in an 18x18, so I'm pretty much comfortable in that. But I mean, if you've worked in one ring, you've kind of pretty much worked in them all. They're just different sizes. You know, that they set up different. You know, their skeletal structure is a little different. But in the end, they all look the same. They're just a little different in size.
Now, in our industry, one of the things that has been very unfortunate over the years, which seems to be cleaned up a lot more than it used to be, say, a generation or two ago, is wrestlers that would imbibe in whatever substance they were going to imbibe in previous to their match, whether it was drinking before their match, or whether it was consuming narcotics or taking downers, whatever the case may be. A lot of people would do that prior to the matches, which a lot of times led to some very scary instances. You've been around enough to see a lot of things in your day. Do you think, by and large, the industry has cleaned up to a large degree on that, or do you think that this is something still out there that needs to be addressed?
I think it's cleaned up a lot. I made a mistake, and I was drunk for one of my shows once, and I paid for that dearly. I'm guilty. it's cleaned up quite a bit. I mean, there's like once in a while, you know, I was one of those once in a while people that was caught. So I paid for my mistake, and I'll never make that mistake again. I'll tell you that much.
One of the things that goes along with that was a major sticking point in the industry several years ago was the use of anabolic steroids in wrestling. There was a time when pretty much everyone in wrestling was using them to some degree. There was testing at the national companies, at least for a while. Whether they were effective or not is up to debate. In the late 90s, early 2000s, a lot of independent wrestlers were even experimenting with the use of steroids, trying to make it to that national contract. From what you have seen and witnessed and been part of personally, do you think that wrestling has largely cleaned up the steroid problem, or do you think that it's still out there and it's just not being brought to the forefront like it used to be?
Well, I haven't seen anybody in any form using any performance-enhancing drugs myself in any locker room. But I can't say if it's out there or not, but I haven't seen anything. So I'm guessing, yeah, they're cleaning it up, and it's cleaned up quite a bit.
Now, you also probably have been a part of a lot of shows where it's not necessarily a for-profit type of situation, because wrestling has in its long history done a lot of benefit shows to raise money, whether it's for their community or a fellow wrestler that is in need of financial aid, or for whatever other reason. Benefits have long been part of wrestling, especially at the independent level. You see wrestling used to raise funds, whether the promoter is donating the gate or he is working hand-in-hand with another organization to share some of the proceeds. In your own personal career, do you do a lot of benefit shows?
I have been known to do some benefit shows. I did a benefit show in 2019 for a child who had leukemia, and he was going for a surgery, and they were raising money for that. So I was involved in that benefit show. I've done a lot of benefit shows, and I don't mind it. If it's for a child, I'll do it. If it's for a medical reason, I'll do it. If it's, you know, to bring a community together, like I do all Bethel Community Days, if it's to bring a community together, I'll do it. I'm all for, you know, certain functions. So, I have a soft spot. I might be a heel. I might be the bad guy. I might be hated, but I have a soft spot. And I have a soft spot for children with disorders and diseases, incurable things that need to find research for. So I have a soft spot with children with disabilities, like ADHD and autism, things like that. So now you know, John's got a soft spot.
Hopefully people don't aim for the soft spot with their fists. Now, we have learned in the last several hours or so that AEW star Chuck Taylor's career has been ended because of a very serious injury that will preclude him from being physically wrestling in matches from this point forward. One of the fears most wrestlers have is that they will at some point have a career-ending injury that precludes them from being in the ring medically. Especially for a guy like yourself, which you said you do have a family and you are out there supporting your family with wrestling, does it enter your mind the risk of career-ending injuries, or is that something that you've been able to block out as you perform?
Oh, it's always on my mind. Well, if I have to keep it on my mind, because if I'm going to get injured, I run the risk of injuring someone else. So I keep safety first, unless they're the only time I disregarded safety was when I was drunk that one show. But on a normal John, I keep safety in my mind when performing, because I don't want to hurt myself. I don't want to get anybody else hurt. So safety is top priority for me. And, yeah, I am afraid of that career-ending injury. I hope I never, ever, ever, ever receive one of those career-ending injuries.
Is there any type of injury that scares you above all other injuries, or is it just a generic, you hope you never have any type of injury that would end the career?
It's pretty generic. I mean, a lot of things could happen, so there's not really one injury I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of all the career-ending injuries. You know, I guess injuring my back would be the most fearful career-ending injury. I think landing wrong and injuring my back would be the one I'm the most scared of.
Well, we're at the point of the show where we have a game we like to play. We call it Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. I will give you a series two options. The one that is your own personal preference is the correct answer. Are you ready for some Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
Sure, let's go.
Here we go. First one, barefoot or amateur wrestling shoes?
Amateur wrestling shoes.
Brainbuster or pile driver?
Pile driver.
Cage match or pro wrestling torch?
Pro wrestling torch.
Pancakes or crepes?
Pancakes.
Zoo or museum?
Zoo.
Angel Soft or Scott's?
Angel Soft.
Double disqualification or time limit draw?
Time on a draw.
Stardom or WOW Women of Wrestling?
Stardom.
Now last one, Bill Goldberg or Bill Dundee?
Bill Goldberg.
All right, that wraps up Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. Now, I believe shortly before your suspension, one of the big pieces of news out of Combat Pro Wrestling Presents Theatrical Wrestling was that they obtained their theatrical wrestling license from the State Athletic Commission. It was a long time coming. There were a lot of hurdles, but they eventually got that license in hand. What do you think of CPW picking up that license?
Well, I'm proud. I'm very, very happy. I'm proud of my management team. I'm glad that we were able to get that going. I think it's an asset for us. I think that now we can do and move on to bigger and better things.
Across your whole career with every place that you have been, how many times have you had to deal with athletic commissions in your own personal career?
Washington State, first time.
Do you have to deal with them on a regular basis, or is it something where you shoot over a $25 check once a year with your paperwork and that's it?
Yeah, it's just a once a year, that once a year annual, here's my paperwork, here's my money. Hand me my license.
Enough. One of the things that a lot of wrestlers have on their bucket list of things they want to accomplish in their career at some point is performing on a military-based show. A lot of wrestlers look forward to being able to go out and entertaining the servicemen and women and being able to bring them a little something out of the ordinary for their entertainment. Have you ever performed on a military installation?
No. That's also one of my goals. That's you mentioned on every wrestler's bucket list. As a manager, it is on my bucket list to perform on a military base. It breaks their monotony, you know. They need some kind of something to take their mind off the stress and the, are we going to deploy, are we not? You know, they serve us. You know what I'm saying? They keep us safe. They keep our skies safe. They keep our borders safe. They keep our seas safe. And they go out of their way to do it. So why not go out of my way to perform for them? You see?
Another one of the common bucket list goals for people in the industry is to perform in all 50 states. Some of those states are much, much harder than others to cross off that list. I'm going to throw Montana and Hawaii out as examples, but it is definitely completely within the realm of reason for most people. Have you ever given thought to competing in all of the states at some point?
I've put my feelers out and threw my resume to a few promoters on the East Coast. So I'm waiting on callbacks from them. But I want to go everywhere. Montana's one that I've been to, Billings, Montana. And it was hard to catch a booking there. I went with a very dear friend of mine, and we got the booking taken care of, and it was during COVID, so we were performing in front of cameras and not in front of crowds. So that was the oddest experience I had had. It was really hard to catch the energy because the fans are our batteries. You know, they charge us so that we can get moving. The more you scream, the more our batteries charge. Without the fans there, it was hard to charge the battery. You know. But as far as performing in all 50 states, I do. I do want to.
A few months ago, your son appeared on this very program as part of Children of Sports Entertainers Month. He had some very interesting things to say. Were you able to catch the appearance of your son on this show?
Yeah. I happened to be in the room with him. I caught the entire show.
Now, he very wisely said that one of the things he always does is tuck his head when he wrestles, which is something even a few seasoned professionals forget to do. With that type of instinct, how do you see his future in wrestling, be it on the amateur mats or the canvas of the squared circle, going?
I see his amateur career blossoming. That boy's a genius. He's a genius when it comes to wrestling. I want to see him. I want to see him go collegiate. I want to see him go Olympic. I want to see him come out like Kurt Angle, you know, Olympic gold medal. That.
I have no idea how glad I am that you said Olympic gold medal rather than broken freaking neck. You had me scared for just a moment. Now, if you had the choice and everything was on a level playing ground without thought of cost, location, or anything of that matter, what are some of the top schools you would most want to see your son attend for a professional career?
I think I'd want him to go to the School of Wharton.
School of Wharton, ran by Ricky Wharton down in Tennessee.
Yep.
Now, have you ever crossed paths with Ricky Wharton?
No, I haven't, but I would love to cross paths with him. I want to pick his brain and see what he's got to say and learn from him. That would be an honor.
You know, I've never shared a locker room with Ricky Wharton, but last year I did see him in his 60s do a Canadian Destroyer on a guy at a show in Las Vegas.
Oh.
Just a little fact that happened there.
Nice.
Now, one of the big things right now happening in our industry is, of course, the Vince McMahon scandal that came out. And even though Vince McMahon has left TKO and WWE, I'm sure that the wrestling industry has not heard the last of what happened over the last couple of years with him. As someone looking at this objectively, do you think that what happens with Vince McMahon as the legal proceedings continue to go forward is going to affect the business, whether it's at the national level or even trickle down to the independent level, or do you think the business will be separate from whatever happens in that trial?
Well, I think all the fans, the WWE fans, are on the edge of their seat about it. They're wondering about it. But I think that Vince put the business in some really good hands. So I don't think it would affect the business. I think it would affect Vince himself.
Something else that happened that definitely can affect what non-wrestling fans see when it comes to pro wrestling and sort of jade them towards the business and maybe even jade a few fans of the business from supporting any longer is the controversy with Billy Jack Haynes, where he allegedly murdered his 85-year-old wife in what he deemed as a mercy killing. That is starting to go to trial very soon. What do you think of the way that the Billy Jack Haynes situation might affect things?
I don't think it would affect the business either. I think it'll affect Billy personally, but I don't think it'll affect the business in any way.
In your career, we've seen you on occasion come out and use brass knuckles against your opponents and people affiliated with your opponents. Brass knuckles is something that is illegal as well as a dangerous weapon. Can you tell us what prompted you to start using brass knuckles on people?
I don't know. They're just so fun. They're easy. They're compact. They take care of the big guy. They help my client win. And winning is what we do. So we win. And we use that set of brass knuckles when needed. Not all the time, just when needed. You know, it's like a Tylenol. You don't take them all the time. You take it when you need it.
Well, sometimes brass knuckles will, of course, lead to blood in wrestling if you hit a guy hard enough with them. Blood has been a controversial topic within wrestling for the last several years as we learn more and more about the long-term medical effects that can happen when blood is introduced. Some areas have a commission, like we discussed earlier, that monitors people's blood work. We have other states where there's no commission and no one is monitoring if someone has blood-borne diseases. Some promotions will feature blood in practically every match. Others use it very sparingly. Others try to avoid it at all costs. Where is your personal stance when it comes to blood within pro wrestling here in 2024?
Oops. It happens. I mean, if someone bleeds and it's not planned, accidents happen. We just put a Band-Aid on it and move forward. But No, I try not to make anybody bleed. It's not on my, you know, on my itinerary, or we're going to make this guy bleed. No, but it does happen. I mean, accidents happen. Oops. Try not to do it again.
I cannot confirm this, but you may have made Paul Moonshine spit up blood from his lungs when you gave him COVID.
Oh. Oops. Oops.
I see. Now, Paul does have a wide array of relatives in the business. You have J.B. Moonshine. You have Lance Dean. You have two different J.D. Moonshines. You have Dave Turner Moonshine. You have Cousin Skeeter. You have Casey Carlisle. You have Jason Kincaid. You have Cousin Betty Lou. There's so many members of his family that may have taken umbrage with what you have done. Are you going to have to be on the lookout in case members of the Moonshine family come looking to you for revenge?
Let me tell you something, Sign Guy. I am not afraid. Come see me. I am not afraid of any of the Moonshiners.
All right. Now, we have hit the part of the show where we have another game we like to play. We call it Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some people that you most likely have come into contact with during the course of your career. First word or two that pops to your mind is the correct answer. Are you ready for some word association?
Let's go.
All right. First name, Randy the Pimp Taylor.
Awesome.
Randy Zellers.
Talented.
Good son, Andrew Michelson.
Dane.
Sunny Days.
Talent.
Sexy Pants Paul Preston.
Exciting.
T-Rex.
Exciting, man. T-Rex? Helpful.
Magnum Mill.
Talented.
Feds.
Balls.
Jack the Snack.
Missed. Very missed.
SP8.
Friend.
Ring announcer Dimitri.
Eloquent.
Coach Mike Jones.
Respect.
Ian Bear.
Miss. Very much.
The last name on the list, the Spoiled Princess.
Degenerate.
All right. Well, that concludes word association. And you spoke earlier of having started out in Eastern Washington before coming to the western part of the state. Washington has often been described as a black hole of wrestling by people, whether that was always fair or not is up to debate. We had people like Davey Richards. We had people like Becky Lynch. We had people like Daniel Bryanson all competing in Washington Independence when it was called the black hole, and look at them now. But wrestling right now might be the hottest it's ever been in the state of Washington, with groups like Combat Pro Wrestling Presents, Theatrical Wrestling, Northwest Pro, Defy, Relentless, Reactivate, EWF. You have so many promotions going right now, and I missed several out there, just throwing a few examples. But what do you think of the current wrestling scene happening in Washington, and do you think that fans in general across the country might not understand how red hot the scene actually is here?
Man, I got to tell you, the wrestling scene here in the Pacific Northwest is the hottest I've seen in a long time. I mean, the fans are on fire. They're so on fire. I'm surprised that some of the venues that I've performed in haven't burned down. I mean, the way they come in, they just fire you up. I love the energy they give. But Pacific Northwest was one of the hottest wrestling scenes ever, and it's only getting better, especially for Combat Pro. I love the hell out of my boss, Boss Lady Yvonne Sieber. We've come a long way in the last 7 years. And there's only one way, and that one way is up. Just keep shooting for the stars. I mean, that's all we can do. I enjoy being a part of Pacific Northwest and all their wrestling ventures. I'm just glad to be part of a hot scene.
Well, we are getting down to the final part of the show today, and I want to give you ample time if there's anything that you want to say in closing, and if you want to plug and promote anything at all, from social media to upcoming appearances to merchandise to your favorite laundromat, anything at all, floor is all yours.
Well, first of all, I'd like to send a shout out to my family, my wife, who's probably listening at this point in time, my son Malachi, my daughter Johanna, and the newest addition to my family, my son Killian. He turned 5 months old just a couple of days ago on the 8th, so he's coming along quite well. So I just wanted to send a shout out to my family, shout out to Combat Pro Wrestling, my brothers in the locker room, shout out to my boss Yvonne Sieber, Scott Dutton, and Team Jeff. Send a shout out to y'all too. Love you to death. You can see me May 25th at Club Hectic in Linwood. I believe show starts at 6:30. General admission tickets are $20. Haven't quite memorized the ticket information yet, but you can catch me on Facebook. It's on my Facebook page along with the show posters. So, and it's also on Combat Pros Wrestling or Facebook page. You can also check there. Just come on out. Have a great time. Food's great. Drinks are always great. Make sure you tip your bartender because they do work hard to make sure to put a smile on your face so that you're feeling yourself by the time you walk out the door. So make sure you tip your bartender. And as always, have a great day.
All right. Well, John Davidson, thank you once again for taking time out of your day to be with us. And I'm sure we will see you once the suspension has been lifted.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, fans, if you see John Davidson out there, please don't attack him, even though it worked once. Don't attack him, even though he was failed by a fan in the past. That doesn't give you carte blanche to go after him here in the future. But do follow him, not literally, on the social medias. See where he is appearing. Go buy yourself a ticket and watch what he does. Don't forget you can find me on all the social medias. Next week I'll be back at Northwest Pro in Vaughan, Washington. So go buy yourself a ticket. Come out there and see that show. We will be back with you on Sunday afternoon. We have our Turnbuckle Turmoil discusses the Billy Jack Haynes scandal edition, where we will have several people that knew Billy Jack Haynes personally discussing what is going on with that situation. That should be a very interesting show to have on Sunday. And 1 week from today, Mega Mondo returns. It's been a while since we had Mega Mondo, but he is back, coming off Paulcade 5. So make sure you join us for that. Everybody stay safe out there. Local independents, wherever they may be, and we will talk to you soon. Passengers.